Hallelujah. Praise God. What a joy it is to be with you this morning. I'm honored to have the privilege to be in this house and to be with the saints of God and my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I can just tell by the way you hug each other and fellowship with each other that you love God and you love each other. Amen. How many of you know that's the key today? Relationship's the key. We need to be connected. Amen. One reason I'm here is I want to be connected. And I bring greetings to you from Faith Outreach Center in Tampa, Florida. And we have a congregation that that just enters in like you do, loves to do praise and worship. And we love to reach out and touch people's lives. We love to see souls saved and lives changed. Amen. And that's what it's all about. And how many of you know we serve an on-time God? Amen. Did y'all sing that little chorus, He's an on-time God? You know, can I teach it to you? All right, you ready? You have to help me after I teach it to you one time. Well, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Well, He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, He is. Well, He may not be there just when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time, 'cause He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, He is. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. I was coming down here. I left Maggie Valley, North Carolina, about noon. I had a meeting yesterday morning in Maggie Valley about noon yesterday. And it was a pretty long haul from Maggie Valley to here in a half a day. And about 11 hours. And as I was cooking down through the interstate, the rain started coming and the trucks were going by. And, you know, you get one of those times you say, Lord, I'm trusting You. You're an on-time God. If I'm supposed to get there in time for a ministry in the morning, You're going to get me there. And I want you to know we serve an on-time God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm privileged and honored to be here with you. I feel like I have a word for you this morning. I've been off fasting and prayer. I've been in a week of fasting and prayer. This is my second week, actually. I left Tampa last Monday a week ago, a week from tomorrow, Monday back a week. And been seeking God, been visiting about 7 or 8 pastors and ministers that's connected with us in our ministry, and just trying to hear the voice of the Lord for the coming year. How many of you believe that we need a fresh word this year? We need a fresh word from God. I'm not going to say anything that's going to be new to you. You know why? I don't believe that ministers ought to come in and try to have a new word. I think we ought to come in and confirm what we've already been hearing. Amen. I'm going to confirm what you've been hearing from the pulpit here. I'm going to confirm that God is moving mightily in our midst. And I just appreciate Pastor Terry. I appreciate Pastor Kenny and the tremendous insight that they have on the things of God and the love that they have for you. Can I hear an amen? I'd like you to give your pastors a great big hand clap and just praise the Lord just a few moments. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we give You glory. We give You honor. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'd like to share with you for a few moments this morning, I'd like to share with you things that we need to know to face the coming year. I believe these are some things God spoke into my heart, some things that we need to know. So that means you'll probably have to get a pencil. You need to get a pad. You're going to want to write these things down. You're going to want to take them home and put them on the refrigerator. You know, all those grandkids are on the refrigerator. My wife has so much stuff on the refrigerator, you can't hardly find the handle to open it. Any of you have refrigerators like that? I mean, stuff, you know, magnet things and all these things. They fall off sometimes. And when they do, if they're made out of porcelain, they break. And then my wife gets upset, you know, because we was too rough on the refrigerator. But if you find room for this, you can put it on your refrigerator after you write these things down. If you don't have room on the refrigerator, then put them on the mirror when you get up in the morning, you know, and you go and look in the mirror and you face yourself every day. Amen. And I believe that we ought to be excited for the Lord, don't you? I believe the joy of the Lord ought to be our strength. I believe Christians, and I can say this because when you get as old as I am, I want you to know it's not always easy getting out of bed in the morning. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself first. Leg, get out. I have to have a board meeting in the morning. I have to talk to my legs and arms. Come on, you got to move today. You can't just lay around. Hallelujah. Have anybody experienced that? You're too young. Y'all are too young. You don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I get up in the morning and I say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. This can be a good day or a bad day. I choose to make it a good day. Praise God. There could be things that would stop me today. But you know, it doesn't matter because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'll walk in the anointing of God today. today. And we need to have that kind of attitude. Can I hear an amen? God's looking for some people to have a positive attitude about the things of God. And for a few moments, I'd like to share with you some things we need to know to face the coming year. Are you ready? Buckle up your seatbelts. Let's take a ride for a few moments. Amen. And we're just going to let the Lord minister to us. I appreciate our praise and worship leader. He sang the song, God is an Awesome God. I asked him to do that, and he sang it, did a beautiful job. And I want you to know that God is an awesome God. And before I share with you, I heard a story from a pastor the other day, and it just, you probably heard it, but bear with me if you've heard it before. You know, don't reach over the person and say, I know that. Just humor me a little bit and pretend like you never heard it before. Amen? And I heard this pastor telling the story about there was these two men and they were lumberjacks, and back in the old days before they had chainsaws and before they used heavy equipment, they would use axes to cut the trees down with. Are you with me? And there was a young man. He was about a young man just starting out, and he had energy, and he could swing an axe like nobody else. And he was going to go out there. And there was an older man about my age, and he'd been experienced, and he'd been cutting trees for a long time. And the challenge was given the two of them: whoever could cut down the most trees at the end of the day would get a bonus for their work. And so they went out there and they start cutting, and the young guy went out there and he starts slinging that axe. I mean, he was cutting trees and chips were flying, and he didn't slow down for a minute. And he happened to notice, he looked over at the old experienced old axeman, and he noticed that about every hour he would take about a 15-minute break. And he would sit down, he'd catch his breath, you know, and he'd sit on the edge of a log for a while, and then he'd get up and go back to work. That happened all day long. All day long, the young man never stopped except for lunch. I mean, he was just swinging the axe, and he was just cutting, and chips were flying. And he said, at the end of the day, after they got all done, the old man, about every hour, he would rest for about 15 minutes. And at the end of the day, they calculated how many trees each one of them cut down, and they found out that the old man cut down more trees than the young man. Are you with me? And the young man went over to the older man and he said, listen, you have to tell me, I don't understand. How come you were able to cut more trees down than I was? He said, I worked harder. I put more hours in. And the old man said, what you didn't notice was when I was sitting down every 15 minutes, I was sharpening my axe. I was sharpening my axe. And I want you to know, I'm going to give you some things to sharpen your axe this morning. I want your axe to be sharp for this coming year. We got a critical year to face. I believe we got some things going on this year we need to hear from God. I believe we need to hear from God for our government. I believe we need to hear from God about winning souls of the kingdom. I believe the time is short. I believe we need a fresh revelation and a fresh vision of what we can do to go out and touch souls for the kingdom. So as we sharpen our axe, I would like to sharpen your axe with this. The first thing that I want to share with you to face the coming year is God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. If you turn me to Psalms 29, I love Psalms 29. It'll speak to you. Psalms 29, verse 1 says, give unto the Lord, all you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory. Do his name. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Somebody missed a chance to say amen just then. Hallelujah. It's all right. You won't bother me if you say amen. It's all right. I tell my congregation, if you didn't bring yours, I brought my own. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then it says, the voice of the Lord. If this isn't awesome, I don't know what is. In verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, and God of the glory thunders. And the Lord is over many waters, and the voice of the Lord is powerful. Hallelujah. And the voice of the Lord is full of majesty, and the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord is his splendor, and the cedars of Lebanon, he makes them like skip like calves and wild oxes. And verse 7, and the voice of the Lord divides the flame and the fire. And verse 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. And the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory! Hallelujah! We serve an awesome God. He's an awesome God. The God we serve is awesome in every way and everything that he does. He's awesome how he loves us. He's awesome how he ministers to us. He's awesome how he forgives us. He's awesome how he allows us to hold within these cracked earthen vessels the glory of his presence, that we can share the word of God with somebody even though we are less than perfect. What an awesome God we serve. So number one, God is an awesome God. We need to know that in facing this year. There'll be times that you're going to face things this year that you're going to have to draw from the well of the anointing. You're going to have to draw from the glory of God. You're going to have to say, Lord, I need you today. You're an awesome God and I need you to intervene and touch me today because he's an awesome God. The second thing I believe is vitally important if we're going to face this coming year. Number two, and remember, I've been seeking God and fasting in prayer and asking God for a word. I don't believe it's just a word for Faith Outreach Center. I believe God gives a man of God a word just for his own little circle, us four, no more. I believe God gives the man of God a word that we can speak it into the lives of those that would hear and tune all of us up that we could be sharp. We can sharpen our axe tonight, today. So the second thing I believe is vitally important if we're going to walk in the anointing of the Lord and we're going to face this year as it comes with us is we need to understand sin is pain. Somebody with me? Oh, we live in a compromised society. We live in a time where people just want to do whatever they want and think God's going to wink at everything. You don't have to spend too much time listening to the media and find out how the very principles and the bedrock and the very standards of what we believe in as far as the Word of God concerned is being undermined. I appreciate the fact you have a Christian school here. We do too. We think it's awesome that we can raise up our children in the ways they go and touch their palates with the anointing of God. And I want you to know that there's some things happening in the secular schools that are little by little trying to take out the very presence and the very anointing of God. And we know that other things have happened. And what happens is whenever we start to compromise, we start to lose out on the presence of God, sin will try to creep in. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20 to 23 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness." Verse 21, "What fruit did you have then in the things in which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death." 22, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something about sin. Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And it'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Whenever we start dabbling around with playing footsie with the devil and doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, think that we can get by with that, think that nobody knows, think it's all right, let me tell you, Satan, it comes out and his very desire is to steal and destroy and to kill, take your joy away, take the presence of the Lord away, derail you where you can't be what God wants you to be. I was just with a brother up in Maggie Valley that I've known for 35 years, a dear brother that had a miracle. I used to be a hospital chaplain at Memorial Hospital in Tampa. And he called me one night and he had a blockage and he was going to have to do surgery. And I went in there and anointed him with oil and prayed in the power of the Holy Ghost over him. The anointing of God came. He had a miraculous healing. They sent him home the next morning. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. 35 years ago, and that was the connection, and we've been hooked up ever since, and he called me, he said, "Pastor George," he said, "there's been some things that's happened in my life, there's been a situation, the devil slipped in on my blind side, and he's caused me to have a fall," and he said, "man," he said, "that's happened over almost a year ago, I've been restored and back," but he keeps tormenting himself with that, he keeps allowing that to beat him down, and I told him, "you better tell the devil to take a ride, and get out of your life, because there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. When you repent and you cry out to God and say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins," that God can restore you and bring you back to where you need to be. But there is a price to pay for sin. Number three, Number three, things we need to know to face the coming year. And number three, forgiveness is free and it's necessary. Forgiveness. There's so many people in our society today that's been hurt by somebody, has been wounded by somebody. And they've allowed that hurt and that wound to stay. There's many people not in church today because they got hurt by some church situation. And now some person wounded them. And now they're staying out. They're losing out on fellowship. They're losing out what we have this morning because they got hurt and wounded and they can't release it and let it go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But listen to this in verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. It's so important to understand that forgiveness has to flow. There's so many people that's been wounded and hurt. And because the hurt is so bad, they don't know how to release it and let it go. We have to forgive. We have to let go. The scripture says when you stand there praying and you think of somebody that you have ought against, it says leave the place of prayer and go forgive them and let it go and get healed. In Matthew 18, then Peter came to Jesus and he said, and Matthew 18, by the way, is the forgiveness chapter. It talks all about forgiveness. It talks about binding and loosening. That's binding and loosening and forgiveness. And so we need to understand that there are some things that are directly in context to what we need to understand. And then after Matthew 18 talks about if you find your brother in a fault, go to him. If he don't receive you, take another brother. If he don't receive, take him before the church council. If they don't receive, then consider him as the tax gatherer or as a heathen until he repents. I believe in repentance. I believe whenever someone sins against God or sins against brother, they should repent. But let me tell you what Jesus said. Peter came and he said to him, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Or how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I don't say to you seven times, but 70 times seven in a day. There should never be a time that we can't release and forgive and let go. The reason why forgiveness is so important is because most of the time, the people that offended you and hurt you, they forgot about it. They're out doing their thing. You're the one that's being destroyed. I'm the one that's being destroyed when I allow that to fester up in me. The scripture says bitterness will rot the bone. And I think it's vitally important, a good way to start the year is say, Lord, I forgive everybody. I used to have a little old lady in my church. She was 80 years old and she was just Holy Ghost filled. She had cancer at one time and she couldn't speak a word and God miraculously healed her and she had one of these voice boxes and everything. And in a church service, she was miraculously healed. The hole was closed up and I mean, she could shout and holler as loud as anybody, 80 years old. And she'd walk back and forth in front of my church and she'd get her old handkerchief out like the old Pentecostal people used to do, you know. And I mean, she'd get her old handkerchief out like this and boy, she'd start waving it around. She'd go, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And she'd start kicking her feet and her shoes would fly up in the air. And she'd do that for a few minutes and she'd look around the congregation and she'd say, I find no fault in anyone. Wouldn't it be something if we just say that? We find no fault in anyone. Somebody hurt you? Let God take care of it. Somebody wounded you and offended you? And say, I don't have time to camp there. I'll just have to forgive and let it go. Boy, there'd be release of God's anointing in the house. Amen. Power of God would sweep through the house of God. There'd be people at the altar praying and weeping. There'd be a release of God's spirit and God's anointing if we could just forgive according to the word of God. I don't know if you know, you probably already know this, but our old brother Job, remember brother Job, what all he went through? Well, brother Job didn't have to go through that as long as he did. That was supposed to be a quick thing. God was going to test him. God was going to prove him. He was supposed to get through. But the only thing is, his wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? That would already cause you to have a little bit of bitterness, wouldn't it? And then his old friends, his old buddies. How many of you have had a few friends that you'd be better if you didn't have them? Anybody ever have one of the two of those? Okay, you don't want to raise your hand. That's all right. You know in your heart what's going on. I've had a few friends that they were better if they weren't my friends. And then they camped around Job and they said, Job, surely to goodness, you're all messed up. If things was right between you and God, you wouldn't have all this problem and a little bitterness build up in Job. How do we know that? Because in Job 42:10, when Job prayed or released or loosed his friends, God restored two times all that he lost. Sometimes we have to release and let go. Number four, grace is everything. I said, grace is everything. I'm not sure we understand the power of grace. I'm not sure we really understand how important the grace of God is. I can't live without God's grace. Every day I need God's grace. Amen? God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. Acts chapter 15 and verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. You can't get saved without God's grace. Nothing can happen worthwhile spiritually without the grace of God, because grace is everything. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm justified by grace. I love the old hymn that we sing. So I call it the Christian national anthem, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah for God's grace. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, Paul said, who am not worthy of the calling of an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Oh, praise God for verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me, who was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Hallelujah. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so we believe. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God for God's grace. You know, I think sometimes it's important at the beginning of the year to go back to the basics, go back to the foundation, go back to the bedrock, go back to the foot of the cross. Andre Crouch wrote a song one time, take me back, oh God, to the place where I first found you. If you ever start to get, start to lose out on your joy and it seems like the anointing's starting to wane and then you feel like the cares and the world starting to close in on you, you know what you need to do? Just go back to the foot of the cross. Go back where you first met him. Hallelujah. Go back and get excited all over again about the time that you got saved and the power of God came to your life. You got filled with the Holy Ghost and it changed your life forever. Take me back, Lord. Take me back. And I always try to re-examine myself at the beginning of the year. So I'll say, Lord, take me back to the place where I first found you. Number five. Are you still with me? You're making that little refrigerator list. Amen. Number five. Salvation is essential. I said salvation is essential. I like to believe everybody in the sound of my voice here this morning has had a salvation experience. I like to believe everybody here is born again. I like to believe that every person here, your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. And you know that you have a home in heaven with him. I like to believe that. And probably most of you are. There might be somebody, though, that needs to say, Jesus, come into my heart and into my life. There might be somebody that at one time walked with God and the anointing was strong. And you knew what it was like to serve God. But the cares of the world and circumstances and worries and pressures of life have moved in and taken that joy and that luster away. Why not let this be a time to say, Lord, I'm coming home. Salvation is essential. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 1 and 2 says, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Verse 2, for he said, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold now is the acceptable time. Behold now is the day of salvation. This is the day. This is the day to get saved. This is the day to say, Lord, I'm going to walk afresh with you. This is the day to say, Lord, I'm going to give you all that I have in my life. I'm going to surrender it all to you. I got saved about 40 years ago. And I'll tell you what, the excitement of souls is still in my heart. The excitement of serving God is right there. It bubbles in me. It boils in me. I've been to the Caribbean and held big crusades with some of my pastor friends there. I've been in I preached some of the largest churches in Korea. I've been to some of the places where some of the people have been, and to see lives change, and I still haven't lost the excitement, Pastor. I still haven't lost the luster, praise God. I still haven't lost the excitement over the Holy Ghost. I still haven't lost the excitement to serve God. Well, Pastor, you're getting pretty old, aren't you? Well, not really. You know why? Because Caleb just started got his vision at 80 years old. Caleb said, give me that mountain. There's still another mountain that I got to take. How about Joshua at 80 years old, when he got the word from the Lord, it said to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Joshua, it's up to you now to take these people into the promised land. So I don't think there's ever a time that we say, hey, I think I'm going to sit down on my laurels and stop. I'm going to quit being excited for God. I'm just going to sit around on a log waiting for Jesus to come. I think we need to be excited about the things of God. Salvation is essential. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And that is appointed in a man once to die, but then the judgment, the scripture says. We must be saved. It's not an option. It's not an option. We must be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We need to be saved. Number six. I'm moving right along. Number six. The Lord is a true God. I find in our society today that there's so many people, especially in our younger generation, in the young adults, it seems like the young adults feel like it doesn't matter what the religion is. Many of them are compromising. Let's all mix it together. It doesn't matter, you know, if they're humanist or they're Hindu or they're Muslim. It doesn't matter. It's all let's all love one another and be together. That's not what the word says. There's only one true God. The God that we serve is not Allah. The God we serve is not Krishna. The God we serve is not Sun Moon. The God we serve is not one of the gods out there that the false religions and the occult worships. But I want you to know what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10. He says, but the Lord is the true God. Let's establish that this morning. The Lord is the true God. Amen. He is a living God and an everlasting King. And at his wrath, the earth will tremble. And the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. And verse 11, thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the earth. Oh, but verse 12, he has made the earth his power, and he has established the world by his wisdom, and he has stretched out the heavens at his decision. Are you with me? Oh, listen, oh, we serve a God. He is God. Jehovah is God. It doesn't matter how many people take his name off the walls. It doesn't matter how many people take his name out of the schools. It doesn't matter how many atheists want to rise up and say, hey, God's not real today. I want you to know the word of God establish it, and that is, he is a true God. And I praise God we serve the one and only true God. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a great big praise. And then number seven. Things we need to know to face the coming year. And number seven, and I think this is a big issue today, and that's a believe and it shall be. Believe and it shall be. Oh, there's so many Christians today that'll tell you they believe. There's so many Christians who'll tell you they believe in healing. There's so many Christians who'll tell you they believe in miracles. There's so many Christians today that will be able to quote scripture better than I can. And yet, when it really comes down to it, where the rubber meets the road and when problems really happen and we really have an opportunity to believe God beyond everything else, do we really believe him? Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe what? All things are possible to him who believes. There's nothing that can't be done. There's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing beyond what you can believe for, if you can just believe it. But believes in our heart, not just in our mind. Many times it's 18 inches from the mind to the heart, and it stays in the mind. It never drops down in the heart. It has to drop into our spirit, man, and understand that if God said he's going to do something, he'll do it. His promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. If he says he'll do it, he'll do it. He's a God that should not lie, or the Son of God that should not repent. Amen. And we need to understand, that when our belief system needs to be brought up to the level of the Word of God, and know whatever God says, I believe it. There's been through the years, there's been situations, physical situations and things that we've dealt with. And I'll tell you what, it's so easy sometimes to try to look around for other means to try to take care of the things when they're really pressing against us. But I want you to know, I believe that God is a God of more than enough. And he will see us through. Hallelujah. Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus answered, he said to him, have faith in God. For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt with his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Hallelujah. And I think we need to be reminded. We know these scriptures. I'm not saying anything new to you this morning. I'm not saying anything new revelation, you know. Some people are always looking for a new revelation, Pastor. I have people come to my church saying, I want to know the spiritual meaning of the third toe of the beast. Well, they're not going to hear it from me. I couldn't care less about the third toe of the beast. You know what I care about? Walking by faith and believing God and trusting his word and knowing he's a God of more than enough. And when I'm all by myself and I'm in a tight spot and I'm up against the wall and I can't seem to go through it or under it or around it, I can cry out to God, and God will say, what do you believe? And when I tell him what I believe, my belief system in him will bring me through. Hallelujah. Number 8, are you still with me this morning? Boy, I appreciate this congregation, Pastor. I can tell you guys are hungry for the word. I can tell you're open to receive. I just feel like I'm at home. My wife's preaching in my church this morning and gives me the opportunity to be with you. I just feel like I'm talking to Faith Outreach Center. You know why? Because we're one mind and one heart. Because you have a hunger for the things of God. Because you're open to receive. Now listen, as we recognize, we're facing a year that we're going to need these things. There's somebody that's going to need to grab onto these principles and not let them go, no matter what somebody tells you, no matter what the circumstances are. Number 8, we must have the mind of Christ. I said we must have the mind of Christ. Now listen, we need to understand that if we have his mind, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to make your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only our reasonable service. How? By the renewing of our mind. We must develop. We must work on our minds. You know, people we live in such a high-tech educated society. And I believe in education. We have a school that we educate our children in the academy. We have a Bible college that goes from associate degree to a doctorate. We've got students all over the world that are changing people's lives. I believe in education. But let me tell you, there's some educational systems that are breaking down the very fibers of the things of God. And I want you to know our mind needs to be focused on him. We need to be focused on the things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We need the mind of Christ today. I need to hear from God. That's the reason I've been seeking his face for the last week and a half. I need the mind of God today. Pastors, we got so many decisions. It's not easy as being a pastor today as it was 20 years ago. People have more intense problems today. There's more things to deal with than ever. We need to hear God. We need to have the mind of God. We need to properly discern things whenever somebody comes to us with a need. Hallelujah. I need the mind of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I need the mind of Christ. That you put off in verse 22, Ephesians 4, that you put off your former conduct, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, is true righteousness and holiness. God is still a holy God, regardless of what our society says. God still demands holiness and righteousness, regardless of how the world and the society that we live in wants to put down the anointing in the presence of God. Colossians chapter 3, if you then be risen with Christ and seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. You are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears to us, then you will also appear with him in his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope the word of God is stirring you up a little bit. Oh, listen, the word of God will get me excited. Amen. And in closing, number 9. Am I doing all right? Am I doing okay time wise? Am I overrunning too much? Okay, good. I always have my wife. I pull my coattail sometimes. Number nine. Listen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Trust in him. Trust in him. Anchor onto that. Trust in the Lord. When you don't feel like trusting him, trust him. When you're not sure what the answer is, trust God. Get into the Word of God and see what his Word says about any given thing. And then start trusting him until you get the breakthrough. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or trust on the Lord. Because he trusts in you. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. For Yah. Yah is the word that they honored God's word Yahweh so much that they wouldn't say the whole word. They would just say Yah. It was almost like he was so revered and so honored. They couldn't say the whole word Yahweh. So they said Yah. Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. In Psalms 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great is the goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared in those who trust in you, in the presence of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of men, it says in Psalms 31 and verse 20. You shall keep them securely in the pavilion from the strife of the tongue. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Bless the man who trusts in the Lord and who his hope is in him. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him. Can I give you one more? Let me give you one more. That's all you got plenty to have on your list. 10's a good even number. Let me give you one more. Here it is. Create an environment for miracles. If we're going to get a breakthrough this year, we got to have to create the environment. You create the environment when you do praise and worship. You create the environment when you start talking about God's goodness and God's miracle working power. Create the environment. Come into the place and start talking about his miracle working power. Start telling each other you're going to get a miracle today. We're going to see God move today. Somebody's going to get healed today in Jesus' name. There's going to be people saved in the house today. Create the environment for God's anointing. And then when you create the environment, then you can put a demand on the anointing. There's people that are making a demand on my anointing, Pastor. There's people here that always put a demand on you. There's people that put a demand on Jesus' anointing. The woman with the issue of blood put a demand on what he had. He was walking through the city of Jerusalem and she says, I spent all my money on everything. I'm going to get this healing. I'm going to get it. She created an environment for a miracle. As she started talking about it. She started thinking about it. She knew if she just could get up and touch a hem of his garment, she would be healed. Until she couldn't take it no more. And she walked by and she reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment. Healing came in her body. And he turned around and said, who touched me? Virtue has left me. We have to create the environment for miracles. How many of you agree with that? Oh, listen, would you give the Lord a praise for his word this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, thank you for the privilege to preach in your pulpit. I want you to feel free. You're coming at any time that you can come down to Florida. I would invite you to come preach in my pulpit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Kenny, you've been such a blessing to me. Thank you for being in my life. Listen, could I just ask you a quick question? I'm going to turn this over to the pastor in just a moment. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, and I never let a service go by. In my own church, for the 29 years that I've been pastoring, I never let a service go by that I don't give people an opportunity to allow Jesus to change your life. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, say, Pastor, I can't live by these 10 principles. I can't, these things can't operate in me. I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. You can change that this morning. You can ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your soul. He's waiting for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you used to serve God. You used to feel the presence of the Lord in your life. Maybe you served as an elder or deacon, or you served in the house. Maybe you was a doorkeeper. Maybe you worked in the nursery, but somebody hurt you. Somebody wounded you. And you thought, well, I don't need a church to walk with God. And so you got kind of cool. You backed off a little bit. Only thing is, when you backed away from the fellowship of the brethren and the church, it also, you backed away from the Lord. Maybe he's calling you home this morning. Maybe he's saying, come home. My son, my daughter, come home. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your own personal Savior, and I'd like you just to take a moment, if you would, bow your head and pray for the person next to you, because you don't know what their condition is. Just pray. Just ask God to touch them. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your own personal Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and the Spirit of God has touched your heart, and he's saying to you, it's time to come home. Like that prodigal son, it's time to come home. Let me wrap a robe around you and put a ring on your finger and put sandals on your feet and kill the fatted calf just for you. And God's saying, come home. If you knew Jesus, if you need Jesus as your own personal Savior, you've never asked him. You might say to me, Pastor, how do I know that I'm saved? How do I know? I didn't know you could know that you're saved. Ask this question right now. If you would die tonight, God forbid, but if you would die before the sun goes down today, do you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that you have eternal life with him? Do you know that Jesus is your Lord? If you're not sure of that, it don't cost you nothing except for an opportunity to let somebody pray for you. It would be my honor. It would be these pastors' honor to pray for you, to lead you to Jesus. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your own personal Savior, or you're not where you should be with God and you'd like to make a fresh commitment to him, would you raise your hand right where you are? Just put your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor. Just raise your hand so this pastor can pray for you. Is there one? Is there somebody? Say, that's me, Pastor. God bless you, brother. I see that hand. Is there somebody else? Say, me too. Don't leave me out, Pastor. Don't leave me out. Is there somebody else? Hallelujah. Could somebody get on the instruments and just play real softly for just a moment? So I'd like to have the opportunity to pray for those that raised your hand. Would you stand with me? Would everybody stand with me, please? I don't know if it's the normal way you do things, but Pastor gave me liberty this morning. You raised your hand and said, Pastor, I want Jesus to change my life. I want to make a decision to make him Lord. You raised your hand. Would you step out and just meet me right down here? Would you come? You raise your hand. Step out and meet me down here. And I'm going to ask Brother Kenny, Pastor Kenny, would you come and meet these brothers right here and pray with them? Would you do that? In fact, if you don't mind, I would like to have an opportunity to pray with them first. Just come right here, guys. Just come right here where I am, please. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord for these brethren coming, making a decision to make Jesus Lord of their life. Amen. I'd like to lead these brothers in a prayer, but I would like everybody here to pray with them. These are our new brothers in Christ. These men are going to come and make a decision to let Jesus be Lord of all. Can we pray out loud together? Will you guys pray with me? Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Everybody pray with him. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Lord, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I acknowledge that God raised Christ from the dead. And Lord, according to your word, I'm saved. Strengthen me today. Give me the anointing and the strength to live for you, to walk with you, and to serve you all the days of my life. And I thank you right now. There's a home in heaven for me. My name's written in your book, and I'm your child. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Stay right here, man. I'm going to pray one more prayer. I'm going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to empower you. You see, Jesus is the baptizer, not me. And I'm going to ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, okay? And then the brothers can minister to you. I don't know what you guys do. Probably somebody will give them some literature and minister to them a little bit more off to the side. But I'm going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask right now that you fill my brother with the Holy Ghost. Jesus, you're the baptizer. Empower him with the Holy Spirit. Lord, energize him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Let the anointing of God flow through and give him the courage to walk in the victory and what he's committed to do. And God, your anointing will flow through him in a mighty and a special way. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I pray that you baptize my brother in the Holy Ghost. Empower him with your anointing. Fill him with your Spirit. Lord, give him so much anointing and so much presence that, Lord, every minute he'll feel your presence and your anointing. Lord, these young men, you're going to use them. There's some things you're going to do in their life. God, you're going to show them. You're going to reveal to them through your voice and through your word. And God, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will guide them and direct them in every way of their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. What an honor.
Come on, everybody say amen, would you? How many feel like you've been fed this morning? You've been fed? You know? It ain't been good. We look forward to having him back again. And you know, when you just sit there, you just feel a freedom. When somebody's pure and somebody's got a heart for God, you don't feel the showness. You don't feel all that. You just feel that today. It was just pure, the pure word of God. Thank you, Brother George. Give him another good clap off. Would you do that? Come on. We always take a privilege to give. And so on the sides of the building, we have a little missions box. And if you do that, go ahead and just in the missions box, go ahead and give a little offering over there. You can put an envelope or just put it in there. If it's in the missions box today, just write Brother George on it. We'll know what it's for. Everybody say that. Would you take a minute and just get your offering ready? Next Wednesday night, we're doing the last class of Courageous. And then on the next Wednesday, a number of you were not with us on New Year's Eve. We're going to be able to show the movie Courageous again here on a Wednesday night. The fall two Wednesdays, not next Wednesday, but the next. And then we're going to start an 8-week series on Courageous. And so we'll tell you more about that as we go, but just be prepared. Go ahead and get your offering up. Let's bow. Father, we thank you for meeting new servants in the Lord. And Lord, thank you for just the deposit that we felt. Thank you, Lord, is more than even words. It was just a spirit that's been deposited within us. And Lord, we have felt nourished by you. We felt strengthened by you. We felt encouraged for the coming year. Thank you, Lord, for new strength for a new year. Thank you for new vision, new direction for a new year. Lord, we receive it. We thank you now. Remind us, keep us going, Father. We bless him, bless his wife, Lord, their service today and their school. We just pray a blessing back on what he's given, Lord, return unto him. And Lord, as we give today, we thank you for all that you put in our hands. In Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. All right. Give another good clap offering if you would.